What's going on, everybody? This is Jerry Seymour with the Legacy Levels Talk Show. Now, this show is about just giving perspectives on just South Florida sports, majority football. But I'm here with my guests. I got four guests with me. I'm gonna start over to the right. We got Darrell Strong, who's a leader and mentor in the community. He's the CEO of Harbor Fair. He's a Omega Psi Phi member, and he's a part of the coaching staff at Plantation High School. Next, we have Coach Jude Joseph, who's the former head coach at Miami Central High School. He's been impacting the kids and the community for the last 15 years, and he has six total state championships under his belt. And then last but not least, I got my guy, Travis Harmon, who's the owner of Mental Peace Performance, former office alignment coach at Chaminade Madonna High School, and he's impacting the youth for over a decade now. Now, today we just want to talk about the development of coaching and youth development in South Florida. Now, these gentlemen, they've both been in the training game and the coaching game, so we just want to ask their perspective on these things too as well. So the first person I'm going to go to is Jude Joseph, obviously, right? So my question to you is, you've led teams to multiple state championships, right? So what's the key to building a program that's not only consistent, but you're sending kids to college? You know, so talk to us about that.
Okay, well, first of all, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here today with such great men that's impacting the culture of South Florida high school football and just South Florida, period. But like I said, well, just to your question, honestly, it's just a buy-in, having the kids and the parents understand that ultimately, winning is a byproduct of impact of what we're trying to do in cultivating the youth and just develop them holistically, not just on the field, but in the classroom and also in the community, knowing that you're trying to create leaders in your society and build some type of pride in a sense from where they come from. You know, ultimately, you know, we all have a hand in their development. We're a small piece in a big puzzle. I always tell the kids and I tell the parents, it's not my job to prepare the path for the child. It's my job to prepare the child for the path. Correct. Because ultimately there's obstacles and things of that nature within the path. But we also have to teach them different dynamics and techniques to maneuver through these obstacles, because it's not about if adversity hits, it's when adversity hits and how you actually are able to handle those adverse situations. Football is, I tell them all the time, this is a vessel, you know, and you can connect the teachings and the lessons that you've learned in football to things in your life on a daily basis. So, you know, once I get kids and parents to buy into that notion, then the rest is history. You know, the college students and the championships are just a supplemental to the main ingredient, which is instilling in the kids, you know, what they need to do to be functional adults in society.
Gosh. Now I'm gonna move on to Coach Travis and Coach Darrell, right? So y'all played in both, y'all were both trainers and y'all both are now coaching. Well, you're former now, you're not coaching anymore. Let me ask you this, as far as like, what do y'all felt like the difference was when you guys were trainers and then you had to really flip on and turn on that coaching hat? Because obviously as a trainer, because I trained too as well, we kind of could do our own thing. You could teach what we want to teach. But now when you're on a team, now you got to kind of go by, you know, what the head coach's philosophy or the defensive officer coordinator's philosophy. So tell me, was there any struggle with that? And you guys, you know, were you guys able to kind of just go in and fit in right there?
I know for me, the difference is like when you're training, like I'm introducing you to the work ethic and you have to learn to love the work. But when I'm your coach, it's way more hands-on because I'm with you every day in your growth and development. Right. So I can make more of an impact when I'm your coach, like full time, because I'm watching every little thing. And it's a gradual process where you have to show up every day. You know what I'm saying? And that's the benefit or the difference, rather, where when I'm training, I'm introducing you, but that's like maybe 3 days a week. What are you going to do when I'm not around? Right. But you at least know this is the work ethic that it takes to be great. And if they buy into the training, how hard they're working, getting introduced to, you know, the feeling of, you know, giving it your all in that one day, then like you go, okay, like I can take that and carry that to college because I know what my body's capable of. You know what I mean? So that's the difference there. Like, you know, training is 3 days a week, but when I'm coaching, I'm on your head full time and I'm applying pressure and I'm letting you know, like, it's a big impact there as well.
Well, for me, training was, you don't have to really connect the kid. You there as a business. football, you can call it a business, but it's more personal too, because you got to learn their life at home. You got to learn everything about them so you can know how to coach them. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was the difference for me from coming to training. I had to be more hands-on. Like, even with, you can't just leave kids at the school and then you go home. You got to make sure everybody going that campus is clear before we leave, because anything can happen. So it take more of your time to coach. Training, you got a session, you go home. So I say that's a bit different.
Gotcha. I know one thing, you know, being at the running back academy, when I coached a lot of my running backs, I used to bump heads with a lot of position coaches or sometimes head coaches, right? You know, because a lot of times when I was teaching the kid, you know, and I was early in the game, I was just teaching them my way. You know, then I had to kind of learn, like, okay, what is your coach teaching you? So I could kind of complement that. And then so when you do go into their system, you can kind of just, you know,
right.
It's not that hard. You're not far off, you know what I mean? You're able to kind of gel and make things make sense, right? So I'm asking you, Jude, like, was there ever a time where, you know, because obviously you're the head coach, you have position coach, your kid's probably one of the coaches. You know, was there ever times where you and the position coaches when he's training that were kind of clashing because he felt like, you know what I mean, like, they're not really teaching what I want to teach, and this is not how we do things here.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a position coach before, so I know it was the elephant in the room is trainers didn't like coaches and coaches didn't like trainers. Yeah. Don't go to that trainer because he ain't teaching you what I'm coaching. But ultimately, you got to look at, like, key the main thing. And the main thing is to develop and improve the child.
Right.
So what needs to occur is there needs to be a sense of cohesion between the trainer and the actual coach.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we are both here to train and develop the kid.
Right.
And therefore, if everybody sets their egos to the side and keep the main thing in that case, then, you know, that's when the productivity will come. Because I liken it to education where, hey, you know, maybe a kid, because a kid's going to go see a trainer for a purpose. It's just like a kid struggling in math. And then on weekends, that's what they do. They go to a tutor. They go to their tutor and their tutor assists them with whatever they're struggling with in class that week. Then and your football team is your class. Your trainer is your tutor because they're sharpening your tools. But if they're teaching you algebra and we ain't even get there yet in class, you get what I'm saying? So what are we really doing? So take it upon yourselves, as I would say trainers, hey, what are y'all working on on your team? You're working man principles with this kid, and we a zone team. You're working vertical balls, and we run the wing T. Like, so it's once we figure out, okay, what's going on, because that's when I started to understand trainers, when they would actually come and say, hey, you know, X, Y, Z, this is what we're doing. Okay, well, this is what the kid is doing. Now I feel more comfortable with you actually going there, because now you're not counter-teaching or counter-productive, because now I got to stop and re-coach something because your trainer has taught you something that we don't do over here. Now, granted, if in fact, whenever you're going and things of that nature, you can do that on your own time. But in the season, if we're getting ready and you're trying to play for me, and you have to play within the guidelines of what we're doing. And once I got that type of clarity with the trainers and understanding that the kids' development was through the roof, because it's coming from both sides. Because ultimately, let's be honest, kids play adults against each other all the time. So, you know, the moment the adults team up and say, hey, we're going to speak the same language, and I always tell parents this, I need to be an extension of your household. Trainers just say, I need to be an extension of your staff because I have your kid. So whatever you're speaking to the kid, I need to be speaking to the kid as well.
Right. But one thing I want to kind of throw in there too, I think that's why the common denominator has to be the work ethic.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, we teach our kids to be coachable, because who knows what they're going to be taught when they go to college. You're going to have different coaches. Matter of fact, when you're on your journey in college, man, the person that recruits you might be fired the next year.
Right.
So going to have a whole nother coach come in with a whole different philosophy. So you got to be able to adjust. So it can be okay for a kid to learn different schemes and different ways to do things, as long as the common denominator is the work ethic.
Right.
Because if you can work and you're willing to run through a wall and you can run all day long, you'll be fine. You'll survive either way. So it can be a good thing too, as long as we're all on the same page and the common denominator is the work ethic.
Right.
Now I'll say this, you know, the reason I'll tell you why I stepped out of coaching, right? Because I was coaching out of high school. I wouldn't say who it is, who it was. And I remember I had an opinion about Q, because I physically thought that he wasn't ready for running back. I thought he was not a college running back, right? So I told him, I had this conversation with the rest of the coaching staff. I said, hey, I don't think this kid is running back. I think personally he's a linebacker. And I remember one of the coaches, you know what I'm saying, going back and telling the kid, calling the mom and the kid, telling them what I said. But it wasn't that I meant it in that context. I wasn't telling the kid I didn't believe in him. It wasn't that I was telling the kid that he couldn't play running back. He basically said, he put it in that context like I was just talking about the kid. And then the kid came back the next day, and I felt like he had some type of attitude. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? So I put two and two together, and I realized that, you know what, one of the coaches went and told this kid what I said. But it was for the betterment of you, because I said in that meeting, I said, if this kid wants to go to college, this is what he needs to play, right? And then, you know, you as a coach, you go back and you know, I thought that was just very immature, and I left that coach staff. Because as we said, is it about the kids or is it about us?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, that was my last dealings with high school. Because I said, you know what, if I'm gonna coach for another high school, bro, we all got to be on the same
page. Right.
And we all gotta put our egos aside because it ain't us that's throwing on these fast kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to help them get to college.
Right.
And what are we doing?
And I think that's really why, you know, coaches, we gotta grow up too. Yeah. You know, we come in with our egos and they're, you know, we're immature in a lot of ways, man. Like, there's no way you should be pillow talking with a parent about a kid or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's amongst the staff where we got to keep things in-house and figure out, like, what's the best position for this kid? Because it wasn't nothing bad.
Right.
It's just like, yo, like, we want this kid to be successful. We should all want our kids to reach the next level and not just get there, but have success. And what we mean by success is graduating college. You know what I mean? Like, we want to prepare you to go, but ultimately to finish. You know what I'm saying? Because it don't mean nothing for you to go to school and when you come back home in 2 years, you know what I'm saying? You back on the sideline living in your old glory days where everybody love you again. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, bro. And for me personally, I don't care if you don't play it down in college. But if you can finish with your degree, that let me know you did well enough, you were disciplined enough, you know what I'm saying, to actually finish in 4 or 5 years. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, as coaches, we got to grow up too and be an example of what these kids want and just, you know, be more professional.
Right. I think that comes with time. I think we live in a microwave society where instant gratification is real. I think that, you know, a lot of guys are coming off the park into high school, straight into the varsity room, you know, and not understanding the decorum of which and the professionalism in regards to the coaching staff. You know, sometimes, you know, nothing wrong with junior varsity, nothing wrong with, you know, cutting your teeth on, you know, growing, because it's a process in college. You got to be a GA. You go from an intern to a GA. And then from a GA, you may go to an analyst. From an analyst, you may go to a position coach. From a position coach, coordinator, so on and so forth. But those are years between. It's the same thing. Well, it used to be that way in this profession where, you know, you're optimist and then JV, and then eventually you get up to varsity. You know, that's usually what it is. And then as you're doing your time, you're learning. You're not just coaching, you're learning. You're learning how to promote a kid to a scout. You're learning how to develop everyday drills. You're learning the time constraints that you have within periods. You're learning motivational tactics by picking people's brains. You're going to clinics. These are the things you should be doing. You're going to clinics, developing yourself. If you're serious about being a coach and you're serious about elevating your profession and you're serious about developing kids, you're not just showing up with a little folder and plays and say, we about to do this today. No, you're very serious about your craft. And, you know, for us to say, you know, check your ego. Yeah, you got to check your ego. We're in the business of service. We're serving people. We're serving the community. That's a selfless job. So, you know, you got to understand, you got to put yourself second always. And by that coach going to, you know, share, which was just total disrespect, one, and lack of professionalism, two, you know, that just shows that there's just some immaturity that, and under not understanding this lack of professionalism in that stance. So
now this is what I want to transition to, because I know, you know, because some schools got developed more than others, right? So I know at Miami Central, you know, obviously y'all have been a heavyweight contender last, what, 5, maybe 10, a few items. And I know the real, you know, y'all trying to bring plantations back, right? You know, so, you know, talk to me about that process of what y'all are going through right now, trying to develop kids that's probably either just started football or kids that just really don't got the measurables or the talent. I ain't saying that y'all don't got it, but I know y'all got to really work hard over there just to kind of bring the name back until, you know, y'all stay on top. So talk to me about that process.
Well, with us, like he said, you got to have a JV program. And you got to, and the thing that's hurting us is coaches don't want to coach JV. So that when you want to have two coaches on JV, it's hard to, for them two coaches to develop all them kids and send them up there with us. And the coaches, we don't have the coaches that can learn the scheme that we're doing on varsity. So when they come, they can, we can plug them in. So I think that's what we're trying to build right now. And another thing with us, they took a lot of zones away from Plantation. When I was at Plantation, we had Parkway, we had Lauderhill, got Sunrise, and of course Plantation. Now they just cut us off to having half of Sunrise, Plantation, and then that's it. So I think that's the big struggle when I came back that I noticed that's why Plantation dropped off so bad, because our zone is not that big no more. So all them kids zoned to Dillard. Dillard got down to every zone and got down a lot of them. So, but with relationships, I have a lot of relationships. So it's, I'm grabbing kids to come back in. You know what I'm saying? You got kids that go stay with their cousins or their aunties just so they can play at Plantation, but that's just off a relationship. So we starting young to build it back up, starting all over.
Now let me ask y'all, because both of y'all split, you know, obviously contenders, right? You know, so y'all getting a lot of kids that come in with that got a nine, you know what I'm saying, that coming in that got a little bit of, you know, swag, some confidence. You know, how do y'all humble those kids, you know what I mean, and have them buy in, you know what I'm saying, the rock the way or the lion way? Because you're getting a kid that's coming in, he already smelling himself. You know, so how do you get those kids when they come in, how do you humble them and get them to buy into the process?
First, coaching everybody the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care what. You know, where you came from, what park you came from, what high school you came from. Like, the work ethic is gonna be crazy every day. And also getting them to understand, I'm not preparing you for what we're doing at the high school level. I'm preparing you for when it's time to go to college. Yeah. You don't know what to expect when you go to college, but I'm trying to prepare you for that moment. So you gotta buy into your future. You say you wanna be great here, but you know, I'm trying to get you better for, you know, the next level. So a lot of times, for example, you know, when I switched up and coached running backs, like I had, you know, Bullet to start, and I had another running back that we had, PJ, and another one. So everybody, like when I was dealing with Bullet, it was always, hey, I'm preparing you for the next level. When it's time to go for wherever it is you go to, like, this is what it's going to feel like. This is what it's going to be like. If you want to be the number one back, you got to put yourself in position to be able to have 30 carries in the game and not be tired. So these were all of the things that I'm saying to him while we're going through our drills, and I'm pushing him, because it was more than just a state championship. Like, you know, winning is a part of the process, and like setting a goal of a state championship, like that's an automatic. And this is when we're at the high school level, this is the first time we're talking about goals where, you know, we're setting goals and we're trying to reach them. But ultimately, I'm trying to prepare you for the next level. So that's how we get them to buy in. And one thing I'm proud to say too, the running backs that I did have in that unit, like, the first, the starter, the second, and the third string, they all ended up going to college, you know what I'm saying, and getting carries at the next level. And that's what we always talk about. When your moment comes, you got to be ready.
Yeah, I'd say we got this saying on 95th Street when I was there. Was like, what have you done for the Rockets? Yeah. Like, I don't care about nothing that you've done. We don't care about nothing, nothing that some fat white man has written about you on a computer that he's never coached football. I don't care nothing about that .com stuff. What have you done for the Rockets, for this place, for this football institution, for this program? What have you contributed to the championship? And the kids will hold them to that standard as well. They don't care about who you played for, where you came from. You here now. What have you done? You got to earn your keep here. And they know that. That's how I'm an old school guy. I have old school tactics in regards to, you know, I don't know your name on purpose. I make that I'm over exaggerating with that. Like, you want me to know your name? Do something for me to know your name. We have this entitled mentality in society where it's like, well, you don't even know me, coach. Well, give me a reason to know you. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean I don't love you. You're still a child in my program. I'm going to make sure safety before everything, things of that nature. But I'm also trying to instill in you patterns of trying to separate yourself from the pack, because everybody's not going to go to the NFL. Everybody's going to have to get a job one day. So I need to teach you how to separate yourself. There's going to be a pack of resumes on somebody's, on a future employer's desk. What's going to separate you from everybody else that's trying to get that job? You know, and the same thing, everything, life's a competition. So I need to create this mental aspect of competitiveness in every single thing you do while you're with me. You know, I tell them all the time, you're going to have to compete for your girl. You think you're the only one that thinks she looks good? You got to separate yourself in every aspect. So I'm going to create continuously this competitive model, right? Even though I get it, it's not normal. Everybody gets a trophy. Not here, boss. Not here. You need to understand. You feel bad about not winning? Well, guess what? Win next time.
Right. I want to piggyback off what you said, like, because what you said was really beautiful in the sense of what have you done for the Rockets?
Yeah.
I want all the kids to know at home, when you go to college, it's going to be the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares that you're a 5-star, 4-star, what school you came from, if you were a Central Rocket, if you did play for Chaminade or come from Plantation. What have you done for this institution, or what are you going to do? So don't come in there wearing your Letterman jackets or wearing your rings and talking about you coming from this program. They do not care. That's one of the first things you're going to learn if you're going to embarrass yourself coming in trying to brag about what you've done in the past as you head up into college.
Now, what I want to add, because there was an agent from First Round Memphis named Malky, right? He made the comment, which I agreed with much, but said, he said that, you know what, South Florida, with all of the talent that he's had, he says he felt like it's lost the time.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
You know, and I agree with him a lot. Said, and I really think it's because of, you know, the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids feeling like they arrived and they really ain't arrived nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that to say that, you know, back in the day when we played football, right? If you wanted to get on TV, if you wanted your name,
had to go to state.
You had to go to state, or you had to be a monster on the field. Right. You had to do something.
Right.
Now, you could just go out on 707, blur somebody, take them up top, and now you don't win.
Right? You're on NFL Network.
Not yet, you're on NFL
Network. You're on NFL Network.
And now you feel like you arrived.
Right.
And you don't got no stats.
Right.
So let's kind of elaborate on just the hunger that has just left. You know? So what's your thought process, man?
Let me start off on that. Like, back in the day, like, college coaches didn't always like the Florida athlete, but they needed us because we came with a chip on our shoulder.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the arrogance that we had back then, it was exactly. And like, coaches didn't like it, but they know they needed it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why they dealt with the chip on our shoulder. They dealt with the attitude. Now it's more so, you know, you coming in like an IG honey. You know what I mean? The work ethic ain't there. You showing up out of shape. You know what I'm saying? And so now it's not even worth it anymore. So it's just like, you know, that's, you know, where we were back in the day, like, you know, coaches would deal with, you know, our attitude, our mindset, because it carried over to the field and all the things that we did. Now it's a little bit different.
We're dealing with more entertainment as opposed to production. You know what I'm saying? I joke with my kids all the time. It's like, yeah, man, you probably going to post your little 30-second workout on your Instagram and one of them cool little quotes, ball is life, and then you're going to close your app and then you're just going to go in the game and with a creative player and do things that you'll never do because you don't put in the work because you're so busy just trying to portray a hard worker. You're not actually putting in the hard work. And Shaq said it best, right? Shaq said, you know, my kids ain't rich, I'm rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all didn't make this money. I did. And a lot of times, I think that a lot of these South Florida people or kids are like, "Yeah, man, we from the crib." No, y'all didn't do what the older guys did. Y'all didn't accomplish that. Now we have the ability to do it. We have the mindset to do it. But are we pushing these kids to really work? Because see, that's non-negotiable. Work is non-negotiable. It's binary. Either it is or it ain't. Either you can or you can't. And we've lost that mindset of hunger, like you said. And I also say this, you know, being able to work on the national circuit with these national coaches and go to these summits and go to these conventions across the nation, and honestly go ahead and shadow some of these programs and look. And one of the biggest things that stands out to me about, you know, from South Florida to everybody else is size, is nutrition. You know, these kids are eating. Our kids eating honey buns and Takis. You know, like, literally, I had a parent before we was going to go play IMG 2022, she came with a bag of goodies for her child to get on the bus. And I opened the bag and I saw Flamin' Hot Chips and I saw honey buns and I saw every gas station, whatever product you could find. And I said, "Mom, we can't give him this." She's like, "He's going to get hungry on the bus." I said, "The people he about to play have nutritionists. They monitor their body fat. They eat 4 times a day. This is, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of the biggest things that separates us from the national program. See, 20 years ago, I get it. You know, they say, oh, we went out there and played. Times have changed. The game has evolved. The way these kids are built, and what we have, the lack thereof, like I pray every public school coach to grab your kids one day and say, what you ate at lunch? And watch them start stuttering. Because they know they didn't eat. Ask them what they ate for breakfast. But then you got kids in the country, it's mandated that they got a hot breakfast, and they got a hot lunch, and then they got nutrition within between that. That's the battle that we're really fighting, is the fact that, you know, down here in South Florida, now I give it, you know, there are some schools, especially the private sector, where their kids, you could tell. But then there's also in the public sector where it's like, you know, they're not eating. And that's one of the biggest things, too, is that we not, you know, we're not creating programs where nutrition is of value. You can't just say, oh, we're going to be 7-on-7 and we're going to be doing drills and all that. None of that matters if you don't have the size. When these college scouts come, bro, if you got a running back that's 6 foot, 200 pounds, and probably had 300 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, and you got a back 5'6", 140, but he had 2,000 yards, they still going to take that 6 foot back.
What you say?
They still going to take him.
Measurables.
It's not the coach, it's stat man. They don't care about that. They know within 30 seconds of your tape, not even, 30's too long. I'll give you 15.
Yeah, 2 plays.
15, oh, okay, I like him.
Yep.
If I got to watch your tape, the rest of your tape is for your family, at the family reunion, the fish fry, look at little Bobo go.
Yeah.
Man, this man got places to be.
Yeah.
Let me see, two, okay, yeah, I like him. Yeah. Or, nah, I don't like him. Or, you know what, call him down. Call him down don't mean I like him because let me see how he look. No, let me see the size.
Yeah.
Because I got to go bring this back to my boss.
Because
we got a big board meeting. See, they don't know this part. They got a big board meeting where they sit down. They say, well, Darrell, we paid you top dollar to go down to South Florida. What you got for me, baby? And then you say, yeah, coach, this is 5'5 running back. I really, everybody going to look up and say, what? Every back in our backfield is 6'1 and up. You come with 5'5. Now they're going to start whispering. Hey, we need to check his travel budget because he wasting our money. What he doing? We need to check his travel budget because he come in with 5. You, granted, the 5'5 kid is amazing. He's great. Yeah, but you got a mortgage. You got a car note. And I can't bring that back to my boss.
But the kid who's 5'5, if the kid who's 5'5, 5'5, his size better be crazy.
It got to be.
The coach better mention he got 75 touchdowns.
It got to be through the roof.
That they going to look at that.
Right. Because they're not only going to look at the kid crazy, they're going to look at the coach they sent down there. You crazy.
Yes.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
And even for offensive linemen, bro, because we already like undersized or what, we're like 6'2". You could at least be in shape, like where you don't have a whole lot of body fat. You can't be built like you just slow or sluggish and pudgy. Like, no, bro, you got to be able to run all day. You got to be like trim and athletic. You know what I'm saying?
But
you
can't be. They don't know that. That period from January to what? When the spring ball start? May?
March.
From January to May, I'd say, you have to transform your body.
Yeah.
You're getting ready for your job interview.
Listen, I had a kid. We had a DN. Pittsburgh came and they seen his film. He's like probably like 6'1". He was 220 at the time. The coach say, we're going to offer you. But if when we come back in the spring, if you at least 240, we'll make it committable. Kid came back 215. Then look at us crazy. But I understand that if you need help, say something.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. But you want these D1 offers, but when they give it to you, and to make it official, they tell you what you have to do. That's where the discipline come at. That's what I have a coach at our high school, old school, Coach Darryl Richardson. They was the ones that won the state championship at Ely with Coach Davis, with Tyrone Moss. The kids come in and ask, what's the schedule, Coach? What's the schedule? Who are we playing? So Coach went out and printed out a schedule. So he gave him a schedule. Week 1 through 10, guess what it said? Plantation. You in your own way.
Yes.
So focus on yourself before you try to find out who we playing.
Right.
So that whole schedule said plantation. I was like, I ain't never seen that before, but I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to use that.
Well, yeah, and I like that. But I want to stay on that. But also, just the whole development portion. This is why I'm a running back, so I don't like sevens.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it. I think it's... Me personally, I think it's an understanding. Y'all may feel different. Mm-mm. But I think that in a time where these kids are supposed to be developing and getting their bodies right, they still outside competing in 707 tournaments. And I personally think that it is serving no purpose. Because like we said, we talk measurements. Because when you go to college, you ain't playing no 707. What you doing from January mm-hmm. up until spring ball is over with? You lifting weights, you doing mat drills.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're getting your body right. And I think that's why a lot of these kids are underdeveloped, because they're not really giving their bodies no time to rest.
I think it's just like 707 is more entertainment, and it's not about really the work ethic. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, to old school guys like us, it feels like, you know, it's kind of pointless, you know, because you could develop a lot of bad habits. Like unless for me.
But unless it's with your team, I didn't mean to cut you off. Mm-hmm. If it's with Central, if it's with Plantation, if it's with Chaminade, I'm cool with that. Y'all doing team 707. But when you just out there just doing it freelance, mm-hmm. I just feel like it just serves no purpose.
It gives false hope, especially for the quarterback play, because they're just standing there with no pressure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you don't really get a chance to work on your mechanics and, you know, build your good habits. Because especially at that position, it's all about, in all positions really, building good habits. And there's so many things where we're not really building the good habits in 707. That's why I got a problem with it. You know what I mean? Because it builds false hope as well. You know, quarterback not really dealing with the pressure, because I'm an offensive line guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? With no line in front of you, you're thinking you have all the time in the world to make a decision. And you don't, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, that's my gripe with it, because it creates false hope, and you develop in your mind that you have all day to make a decision. Like, no, bro, you might have to deal with a high snap, somebody miss a block, you got to move around, you got to roll out. There's so many different things within the game of football that doesn't happen on 707. That's my gripe with it.
I think I like what it used to be, in a sense of you had linebackers playing linebacker, you had running backs playing running back, and you didn't cheat the drill, because 707 ultimately is a drill. You know, it's a drill to apply what you learned in indos. You know, to, you never seen nobody go, we're going to go 707, then go in. No, I have to teach you something, and now we're going to apply it to the, in the next period. That's the actual sequence of it. I think that, you know, when we take away the team aspect, because it does help with quarterbacks and their timing, because it's a simulation. You know, it helps them with their timing with their receivers. It helps the linebackers with their drops and knowing their landmarks. It helps the defensive backs work on certain techniques. And granted, there is an unfair advantage. But what drill isn't there an unfair advantage? Be it 9-on-7. Because it's practice. So, yes, I'm going to create an arduous situation for you so you can overcome it. So, yeah, we're going to be covering a little longer than we're supposed to. But what happens in the game if you have to? You get what I'm saying? But for me also, I look at the season timing of 7-on-7. There are a lot of they do it during track season. And the people that's on 7-on-7, 9 times out of 10 should be running track. But people don't run track. You know why people don't run track? Because it's hard. Remember, go over entertainment or production, right? Do I want to go ahead and run these 12 quarters? Or do I just want to go ahead and jump on top of somebody's head at the NFL Network and shoot a gun at them after I score? You see what I'm saying? Because, and that's what we mean by that. Now, is it good for exposure for a lot of kids? It is. It's huge for exposure. But also, you got to ask yourself, well, what am I willing to give up for this exposure? Am I willing to give up this development that I should be doing? Because a lot of kids, like it or not, be honest with you, what was the intimate camera? They scatter track. Because track is going to tell them how fast they really are. Because you might be football fast, but that clock is a mirror. And it's going to tell you where you really at and what you really need to work on. There's a reason why a mirror ain't got no speakers. Because what you see is what you get. Ain't no convincing you. It's non-negotiable. It is what it is. You either like it, you're going to do something about it, or you're going to pout, or you're going to run. And that's just really what it is for real. Track,
and I like what you said about it gives you exposure. But the thing about this game, too, at some point, you're going to get exposed if you don't handle your business. You know what I'm saying? You can get all the exposure in the world, but if you ain't got no work ethic, bro, is the football guys is going to catch up to you.
I tell people all the time, kids, I say, yo, you know, you get rewarded in public for what you've done in private. Yes. You know what I'm saying? You get rewarded in public for what you've done in private. So what are we working on? You know, there's some kids who are polished that can just go on 7-on-7 and ball. Yeah, cool. That's your journey. But you got to be honest with yourself. Hey, man, your backpedal ain't where it need to be, man. You only be getting on this flight going out there with them people. You messing with them good people for what? Sit your behind right here. Get in your backpedal. It's okay to get ugly. It's okay to, I tell my guys all the time, garage door down. Like, oh, what the, you always say garage door down. Yo, it's okay to put the dunk in the garage, put a garage door down. All they're going to be hearing is zzz, brr, zzz. It's grinding. It's getting, we're getting the seats out of there. We're taking the motor out. They don't need to see us. It's okay to get ghosts. We, everything is on Front Street now. It's okay to get ghosts. But then when that garage door go up, are we ready? The candy paint, the rims are shining. We, you know, we headed to South Beach. We looking great. We got the motor running because we did our work. If you don't do your work, why are you trying to shine? Now you got the red light. Your car done messed up. It wasn't ready, boss. Now you embarrassed.
I think it's more of the JJs, but they didn't see that JJ did both. He did. He put everything. Like I watched it. The kids call it glazing, but I was just interested. So I just watched this pattern Sundays. I know he's like he do like an hour of stretching with Coach P. I watched that Saturdays. He at the hill. All I'm saying, this guy won states in the hurdles. So a lot of kids don't know that.
Right.
They just see the 707, yeah, what he made it look like.
I know he
wants to hear. Bro, literally.
I did not know that.
Yeah. We had Nashawn Montgomery, who was at Florida. He came to me and said, "Oh, man, they trying, man, how I get my ranking up?" I told him two words. Run track.
Yeah.
Huh? Run track. Get a verified time. You'll get all the stars you want in the galaxy. Get a verified time. Kid never ran track before in his life. He said, "Okay." Kid made it to states doing hurdles. And that's just what it is. They don't want to listen. We so worried about the product, we're not falling in love with the process.
Yes, sir.
We're so worried about the end goal, we're not falling in love with the process. Like we can't focus so much on the destination that we forget about the journey. I don't respect the guy that went to that found Louisiana because he stopped. I respect the guy that found California. Go when they went to Louisiana, they said, "Hey, we gonna stop right here." He said, "It's more grass, man. I'm gonna keep walking. I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna go far. Cause see, I see some water. I ain't stopping."
Yeah.
We in the society that we got. Good job, Bobo. We gonna stop right here. No. And that's what when he said. That's why that kid is getting everything that he deserves because at the end of the day, he prepared. Opportunity rewards the prepared, and the kid was prepared. Third and 12. Notre Dame, Ohio State, zero coverage, big time play for this kid. That moment been practiced
years
ago. That ain't just happened right there.
You know what I love about JJ? JJ reminds me of the old school work ethic. You know what I'm saying? Like when we grew up, like the way he trains. I remember Travis telling me at practice that he says three words: "Yes, coach, no coach, my bad."
Mm.
But you got a kid with zero stars. Ain't got nowhere here in the state of Philly, but they got all the sacks and
the excuses.
Zero. You know what I'm saying?
What's crazy is, and part of my preparation for my kids said, "Coach Jude is crazy. Like, I know everything, right?" And so I remember we was getting ready to play Chaminade, and I stopped it, right? I even break down the celebrations. And I said, "Y'all see that?" And it was like, "Well," I said, "you don't notice JJ don't do no TikTok dance when he score. He don't do no great handshake and none of that. You don't see he's yelling every time he scores. He's yelling. I said, this man is angry about something. He is playing with a chip on his shoulder. He's yelling at the sky. He is fighting ghosts right now. He is on LeBron, Kobe, Mamba, demon time. Because somebody disrespected him along his process, along his journey somewhere, somebody said that he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And every time he scored, he keep reminding whoever told him that, "I'm doing it." I'm being honest with you. I had to slow down. I had made a playlist of all. I mean, look at this. Oh, y'all going against a man this week.
Man.
He not playing with y'all. This ain't a game for him. Y'all playing a game. He not.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a kid, man, like, in practice, he wants to practice. He looks forward to practice and getting better in practice. If there was a moment where he had to be held out, in, you know, like for injury prevention, he'd be upset about it because he can't go to work that day. This is a kid who's mature beyond his years, man. And like you said, he definitely represents the old school player because that's how we used to be. Everybody, like, he fighting ghosts. Everybody had a chip on their shoulder back in the day. And even back then, it was always a flip of a coin who made it. Because everybody had a chip on their shoulder. Now you can kind of tell. Like when you look at a kid like JJ, hey, that kid got it. He going. Because not everybody put in the work. Not everybody have a chip on their shoulder. Not everybody loves the game. People love what the game could do for them. And that's the difference. You know what I'm saying? When you get met with adversity and you don't love the game, you're going to fold.
Yeah.
But if you love the game and you get hit with adversity, oh, I got to find a way to get back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's why that love for it is important. You got to love the game, not what the game do for you.
Because you conditioned your mindset through relentless work. You didn't just condition your body. You conditioned your mind to grind. When you got to understand the science of it. When you're working out, man, you're basically signing up to shred muscle and allowing the process to come so you can gain new muscle. So you're putting yourself through this pain and you're conditioning. You're comfortable being uncomfortable. Now, that's a scary sight.
Yeah. But even when I tell my running backs, hey, when we're training, bro, like, because I think it's South Florida, right? They think that this is just the old football field. So for some reason, our kids don't see that there's more football out there. Grant, you're playing teams in other states, but, you know, because we didn't do that back in the day. So we didn't play teams in Cali. I mean, if you did, it was like a
Florida-Cali game or something.
Yeah, like a Florida-Cali game. But I told him, hey, man, you can prepare for that kid that's out there in Oklahoma, that 6'2", 235, that running back that you never even heard of. That's who you compete against. Yeah, you think you're down here, you're around all these soldiers, but there's kids out there in the rest of the USA that got measurable.
And are willing
to that point, what are you going to do then? Are you going to be prepared to compete with that kid? Because not with the college, there was this running back up named Idris Peace. Never heard of the kid. Monster. I seen his first game against Oklahoma. They was playing against Texas. I said, this is a freshman? Like, this dude's 6'3", 225, running like a maniac. Never heard of this kid. But if I'd have heard of Adrian Peterson when I was younger, mm-hmm. I probably would have trained harder because I know those are the guys I'm out to get. And that's what I tell them all the time. There's somebody out there that you don't know about that you compete with.
You know, it's funny. Like, when I was training, as a coach, because you asked earlier the difference between coaching and training. When I'm coaching my offensive line, I will always say to them, there's a team out there preparing to like kick our tail, and we don't know who that team's going to be. Right. We have to prepare for when they reveal themselves. Mm-hmm. It's somebody like really out there. It's going to be one team, and it's like, and I present it in a way of adversity. Adversity's waiting somewhere, but we got to be ready for that moment when it comes. You know what I'm saying? Preparing for the unknown.
Right. But this is what I want to transition to. And I know we're coming towards the end. A lot of times I think, you know, the route that these kids are going, I ain't saying I'm putting the blame on us, right? But I think a lot of it starts with us, our mm-hmm. generation. Because these kids only know what we teach them. You know what I mean? And nothing is more worse than when a coach is trying to be a kid.
Oh.
I can't stay. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you preparing this kid for? You know, like you're not putting these kids through no adversity, anything. It's like you're kissing their behind. You want to be their friend. So
trying to play them on Madden.
And they got a coach that's trying to really pull some greatness out of them. They feel like that coach is against me. And it's like, no, this is what coaching is. Maybe if you would have been coaching this kid like that in high school, maybe he'll be able to like receive that coaching in college the way that they coach. Because we all think got the ball.
Bro.
They coach you hard. Sometimes you may feel like they'll like you. And sometimes that may be the case. You know. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, like, let's just talk about, you know, some of these coaches and the way that they just try to be these crass friends and just wanted to let them know that we're serving these kids no purpose in that realm.
Let me start it off. And I'm to the coaches out there who only want to coach the kids that are like, that don't have it, like, y'all got to stop with that, bro. Because I didn't see it firsthand where you want to be the number one running back's best friend and you want to chop it up on the fence with him all day long. But then the kid, you know, ain't really going far. You want to yell at him and, you know, talk trash to him all day long. And you want to think that's not coaching, bro. Like, one thing about, you know, we're Guandolo disciples. Mm-hmm. And Coach Guandolo thing, man, everybody gets coached the same way. You know what I mean? Like, if you treat your number one, like how you treat your number four. And then when you're talking to your number four, your 2, 3, 4 guys, you're preparing them for their moment. Bro, if you get a carry, if your moment comes, you got to be ready. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the three running backs that I mentioned earlier, the third guy rarely got a carry at Chaminade. Mm-hmm. But then when I look up to see he getting college carries, like, bro, that meant a lot to me because it followed the philosophy, preparing for your moment. Yeah. If you want to get on the field at Chaminade, bro, you got to block. Right. If you realistically, that's how we had to get on the field. And he did that. But when he got his moment at the next level, it made me feel good to see he was actually ready for his moment to get some carries where it meant something more.
Right.
I think it started in Little League. I think what we messed up at, because when we was coming up, you got coached by a different coach every pound you go up. So when these coaches follow these kids all the way up, that's when they become their homeboy and they get comfortable. So I got kids like my brother. My brother played on every level. So my brother lost millions of dollars because of how he carried himself. So he cut that shit out quick. So all that, bruh, what's up, bruh? Like, coach, like, Jet, you tripping. Like, that's how you talking to a coach. Like, I done seen my brother, like, and it killed me because the kid was actually one of my kids. I'm like, shit, that bitch good. My brother kicked him off the team, like, because he just keep calling him bruh. So, like, but it comes from that little league level. But you're going to run into coaches that ain't on that. I had my kids watch. He had something on YouTube, and I put it on and just let him watch it. And he cussing out. I don't care who it was. Motherfucker, it was one of the big linemen you got with dreads. He was dying. And coach was on his ass. But I know he was one of his star players, but he was treating them like how he said, like you treating the ones who don't play much. So I think it started on the little league level.
Yeah, I'll say that too. I think it does start on the little league level. For me, I always tell my kids, you know, I ain't for everybody. Because if I am, then I mean I'm phony. You know what I'm faking. I ain't that. I'm a binary person. Either it is or it ain't. Either you can or you can't. Black or white, ain't no gray area with me. I treat everybody the same. Exactly. Everybody gets held to that standard. Because ultimately, you know, when you're dealing with human beings on a daily basis, you got to make sure that you're also incorporating fairness. My kids know, you know, I'm going to hold you to a standard of excellence. And not just, you don't need talent to be on time. You don't need talent to wear the right attire. You don't need talent. You don't need to be 6'8" to say yes, yes, ma'am, no, no, sir, thank you, to be courteous, to be kind. You don't need a fast 40 time for that. You know, and so when I hold you to those standards and those stipulations, you know, a lot of times kids are like, Coach, you tripping, bruh. You know, but ultimately when you get to college, you know, you'll see what I was doing. I coach how I was parented. You know, my parents are Haitian. Man, Zoman ain't play that. You know, and I didn't realize it until I got to college. And then I called him and said, yo, and I had to buy my own groceries or my own dish detergent. And I'm like, yo, how did you do that with five kids? Like, yeah, thank you. You know, granted, as a teenager, I didn't understand and I felt entitled. But as an adult, I came to appreciate what he did for me. And I understand that with my kids. I'm not going to get that instant gratification with them right then and there because they don't see it. They up on the picture. You can't see what the picture is until you back away. Then you see its true beauty. And then I'm not here to be your friend. I got a job to do. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm not here for me to be liked. I'm here to be respected. And that's how I can create other leaders within my actual program and teaching them that, listen, man, I'm like medicine. It's nasty, but you need it to get better. You get what I'm saying? You don't want to take it, but if you want to get better, you're going to take it. And I understand that. I understand, you know, sometimes I was telling them, don't listen to the tone, listen to the message. You know, I'm going to put you through certain situations. I'm going to try you. I'm going to see if I can break you. I'm going to cuss you out like a dog. But when I cuss you out like a dog, you don't know I got three coaches watching your body language. Tell me what happened. Did he go in the tank? Did he say, Coach Trippin, bro, they don't like me? Or did he say, okay, Coach challenging me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And those are the innate things that I try to instill in them because I know they've been telling you how good you are since you were 6. I know they've been telling you how great and amazing you are when you was 12. So when you get to me, I'm going to tell you, you ain't shit. Yeah. you ain't do nothing. Who are you? Are you going to fold? Are you going to feel some type of way about that? I recall I had Reuben Bain as a 9th grader. I put him on the field because you know, I had like a lot of seniors in 2019 who didn't believe in what the process was. And they were more in love with me. You can understand. They were more in love with being recruited than playing football. So I said, you know, I'm going to play these babies. And I had Reuben Bain. When I turned Reuben Bain came to see me, he said to me one day, he said, Coach, I'm finna get a job. I said, a job? What you talking about? This your job, son? You know, you get no job. This your job. Getting better every day. Being a great Raven Gate kid and listening to the standard of excellence. Now, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pass that on to the other kids. And they're going to pass that on and so on and so forth. It's transformational, not transactional. See, because this is what y'all don't know. Them when they 6 and 7 and 8, Uncle Tom Tom them, they don't see that as their nephew. They see opportunity. They see cash. I'm going to ride this shorty up to the top, So we can be in the draft room together, and you're not gonna cultivate this kid on any other level, be it, excuse me, in the classroom or trying to find. Ask a kid, what do they like to do outside of football? Ask a kid that. What's your interests? And don't tell me something with football. What else do you like to do? Because ultimately, we're gonna have to spike something else in you because you may not make it in football. Oops, am I a hater? Did I say something? Elephant in the room? That's just the truth.
That's real.
Coach, I had a kid before the state game, linebacker, 5'6". You know, I don't care. You can play, you're going to play. I grabbed him, Mike Backer. We're about to go play in the state championship. I said, hey, enjoy this. He said, yeah. I said, because it's the last time you're going to play football. Bro, it's not going to happen, bro.
No.
This is the last time you put on the helmet. Make it count. Because you're going to go to the Firefighter Academy. Okay? You're going to pick up a trade. You're about to go to school. Something, but I'm not gonna sit up here and tell you you're going to leave because you're not.
And that's the delusion that a lot of these coaches are putting in these kids' heads. And that's when you see a lot of kids after football, they just go, they lose.
The football depression. You know what that is? Because you've been told this is football is what you do, it's not who you are. You've been told since you was 5, no, this is what you do. And now that the NIL stuff, oh boy. Oh, it's getting crazy.
So let me ask you, what's told you? Well, how do you, just like what you did, you told that kid the last day game, hey, this is it. So how, us as coaches, how are we preparing these kids to find that other identity? Detach away from football.
You ask those questions like in the midst of the fire. Like a lot of times, you know, I would, you know, take real life scenarios and apply it when I'm doing drills. Like if they catching their breath or something like that, like I would say just certain things where just to kind of plant seeds. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to have those conversations, bro. And one thing I remember growing up, man, people would always ask us in elementary school or whatnot, what we want to be when we grow up. And we'll say something cute, astronaut, firefighter. They all support your dream when you said you're only, you know, 6, 7 years old. As you get older, the world gonna start telling you can't and that you're not. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta have an idea of who you are before you start that journey. So I ask, you know, what's your purpose? What's your gift? And it's not for you to answer right in that moment because that's a hard question to kind of answer. That takes time.
You're creating thoughts.
But you plant the seed.
Yeah.
Who are you outside? And even if you have the long career that you want to have, you can have a 10-year career. You're 30 years old, bro. You're 32 years old. What's the next transition for you? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like you got to have those conversations and just introduce those concepts so they can kind of wrestle with it through time. So they go when they do go to college, they're not there to take, you know, criminal justice because it's easy or because it fits the practice schedule. You're there to really explore who you are and nurture your goals because that's the first time you ever by yourself. When you're in high school, you got your mom, your dad, your grandparents, whoever taking care of you. You're living by their rules and their thoughts. When you go to college, this is the first time you're on your own when you got a little bit of free time to explore yourself. What you going to do with it? You going to waste it all on Madden? You know what I mean? Because that's the time where you really find yourself in and figure out your purpose. So that's the thing I always ask athletes, man. Like, who are you outside of this? What's your purpose? What's your gift?
What I do, I learn my kids. We have some kids, you know, who probably just want to be a YN using the football thing for just to do. But, like, I had one kid, he loved the game. He loved football. Like, he never played, but he the loudest one on the sideline, cheering the team on, coaching kids up. And he was a senior. So the last game, he actually like, you know how you got the kids, like, say like a Ruben Bain, like Buzz Moore, when we lost against Homestead at Dillard, he just dropped in the middle of the field. He knew that was his last high school game, but he was already committed to Louisville. So you know you're going to college, but that's just the passion he had for the game. This kid never played and did that. So when I seen that, I offered him a job. Mm-hmm. Bro, you ain't got to go away from football. Mm-hmm. I know you ain't really got the grades to go to college like that because, you know what I'm saying, got a little learning disability. So right now, he's a part of the staff just helping us out with whatever we need help with, and then we just going to help him grow that way.
Right, right. And that's why I try to tell the kids, man, it's more than football. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be – there's plenty of positions that's surrounded by football. You don't even know you can get into tech. That's a whole world that they don't even know about. Where you become a software engineer, yeah, it sounds a lot, but you can make 150K a year and only got to play a thing on the football. Over the course of 10, 15 years, you do that, you'll be making what these football players are made in a 2-3-year contract. You get
man.
Like I just think that they don't know that, man. There's so many ways that you can live comfortably. You ain't got to be no millionaire. You can live comfortably with a good, solid job, go to school, do your thing. It don't always got to be about football. That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, and I think one great example a person always bring up is Myron Rowe, because, you know, his football career in college was solid, you know what I mean? Probably would have been just a middle-of-the-road guy had he had a full NFL career. But he's more valuable to the game now as a neurosurgeon. You know what I'm saying? Anytime there's a concussion, a severe injury, a head injury of some sort, or a big hit that happens, who ESPN go to? Myron Rowe. And he sit up there on his Zoom with his credentials in the background, books. He's more valuable to the game as a neurosurgeon than he would have been had he had a full NFL career. Think about that. Not, he probably won't go to the Hall of Fame or not like that. Rowe scholar. His role was different, but he's valuable to the game in a whole nother way. And I think that's amazing, bro. I think we got to start introducing our kids to people like that to let them know, bro, you're more than this. Because as much as I love football, as much as I love sports, it's constantly putting us in a box because we're being ranked 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. Draft grades, first round grade, second round grade, PFF scores. You're constantly being ranked and told, you're trying to be told your worth. This is who you are. Even when it comes to you getting your money, they don't want to pay you. We don't think you're worth that. So now you got to hold up. They're trying to tell you what you're worth. But when you have an idea of your purpose, bro, you will realize you're bigger than this game. And that's what I want our kids to understand. If you don't know nothing else, you're way bigger than what this game has to offer. And understand the bigger picture. They're trying to put you in the box. Like, I love this game, but that's what we got. We got to take it for what it is. Don't let them put you in that box and let them tell you your worth, because that's when you start feeling worthless, when you can't do it no more.
So last question before we close it out, fellas. I just want to ask y'all, you know, when you're done coaching in this game, what kind of legacy do y'all want to leave? You know, what kind of input you want to leave on the city? What kind of input you want to leave on the community? What are some of the things that you want people to remember you by? You know, what's time to
do? You know, what's crazy is I started wearing a hat last season, and it said legacy department, you know, because I always try to teach my kids, you know, well, what are they going to say about you when you're gone? Like, what impact did you have? What effect did you have in this world? You know, as a young coach, I'm not going to lie to you, I used to always think, I want championships and championship rings. And that's what I want. I used to study all the greats. Like, okay. And then, as I want them, you know, they just pile up. And ultimately, it's they're material things that don't really matter, you know. But, you know, you look at the kids, the impact that you have on the kids' lives, and that's what you really want to make sure that you're a positive role model to every single kid that you interact with on a day-to-day basis. You never know what a person is going through. And if you can be a beacon of hope, or a beacon of praise, or whatever, impact them in a positive way. And I don't care if 3 former kids or 1. If I did one thing to impact one kid's life on a positive way, I did my job. You know, people look at it like, oh, you're a football coach and championships. Oh, that's nothing, man. People lose state championship rings in 15 years. It don't matter. Those trophies collect dust. You know, it doesn't matter. Is it, what are you going to do? Go get another one? Go get another one? It doesn't matter. The way you positively impact the way the youth, because their brain's not developed until fully yet. So you have a real job to be a part of their journey in life, in the system, and growing into being functional adults in society. And if I can affect them in a classroom, taking them to church, something in some way, shape, or form, I've done what I'm supposed to do.
I say just like now, like the when the kids call back, like I have a kid, Chris Johnson. He called me into like basically saying that he need that voice. Like he missed talking to me. It made him feel like when you impact a kid and make them feel comfortable after just being, you know, his trip to Miami. I think that's what gets me. That's what keep me going. That's what make me happy. Just knowing that I can call Coach Strong and stuff and life, well, my football life become better. Like my mindset become better when kids call me back, even like like talking to kids like Mark Fletcher, kids I dealt with when they was not knowing that that's how they felt about me. You know what I'm saying? You know, Antoine Jackson, those are one of my kids that I was real close to. So not knowing that I was impacting Chris like that and other kids, so to see the smile on their face and the hug and I love you, coach, because you ain't going to get too many kids that are going to tell you, I love you, coach, especially I did love coach. But when they say, I love you, coach, that shows you like you impacted
them. Yeah, but so, and you know what? Because they coming into math and everything that you try to teach them. Now they're experiencing it like, damn, this is what coach was telling them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He preparing me for this moment. So yeah, coach, I love him because they coming into mail right now. And that's what we've been trying to teach you. What about you, Trey?
Man, I just want to piggyback off what he said. Like, you know, one thing when I was coaching, I would always tell my kids I love them and I'm proud of them because I want them to become men that feels comfortable expressing that to their kids and their families. Because, you know, one thing that kind of traumatized us is not really hearing those words from our own. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the ultimate thing that when I'm coaching, like I want our kids to be confident, but not just in sports. You know what I mean? Because the thing about football, bro, you can look to your left and your right and you're in the trenches with your teammates. That gives you the confidence to, you know, to keep pushing and move forward. I got another 110 in me if my dog got another 110 in me. But as you get older, right, the older you get, the less teammates you have. You come into manhood. You got a family. You got a wife. You can't look at your wife and expect her to run a 110 with you. You got to lead by yourself now. You got to be confident in that arena. So that's why we got to talk about, or I try to talk about more things in sports. It's more like manhood. So you can become a man, bro, and be comfortable or at least up for the challenge of leading your family.
Yeah.
Because when you playing ball, bro, like it's hard, but I can do it if my homie do it with me. You know what I mean? But when you play college and you know, pros and then you retire, it ain't no more locker room action. It's just you and your family and your thoughts. You know what I'm saying? Like it takes a different kind of man to lead in that way. It's easy to lead on a football field because you're surrounded in that environment. It's comfortable to lead there. But when you can lead a family, bro, and you and your wife don't think the same, you a competitor, she not, but you still got to lead that. You still got to make that relationship work. You just can't, like, one thing, you know, Coach Jerry and I talk about all the time, like, you know, we can't look to our partners and expect them to, you know, respond to, hey, bro, get up, it's on to the next play.
Nah.
They don't work that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, our ladies be like, oh, we got to process our feelings. We got to sit in this moment. We got to understand that. But, you know, for us, because we've grown our players, hey, man, you make a mistake or you drop a pass on to the next one, bro. But when you deal with something within the family, you can't just say that. And you got to be able to understand it and know how to lead that. So it's just not just teaching our kids, man, how to be, you know, winners and stuff like that. It's being confident, but not just confident in sports. So, you know, to the parents out there, too, man, make sure y'all affirm y'all kids in things other than, you know, sports, man, because when you play this game, you're going to get your awards and your accolades, but you don't get an award for being a great dad or for being a great husband. You might get a tie on Father's Day. You might get a steak on, you know what I'm saying, on the anniversary. You might get something. Might.
Socks.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, man, you still got to continue to be a great man. So that's the legacy I want to leave, bro. You know, not athletes being not just confident in football, but being confident when it comes to being a man.
Well, you know, I want to dive in with these great answers, man. I think for me, man, I just want to show these kids that, you know, what perseverance is. You know what I mean? Because I tell a lot of these kids my story. You know what I mean? I was in the highs, then got kicked out of college, went to jail, hitting the lows, got back into college, went high again, then make it to the league, came back home with low again, then I actually found my purpose, which was the running back academy, mm-hmm. man. And I just try to tell these kids my story. Like, you know, once you find your purpose, man, you ride that thing out. And you believe in it even when nobody else believed in it. And you take it to where you just take it as far as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm to the point, you know, obviously I've been over in Germany, man, teaching running backs. You know what I mean? Like, probably going to go to the UK. And that's just to show, like, hey, man, once you really dive into your purpose and you truly believe that that's what it is for you. I mean, me and Darrell, bro, we started off. You know what I'm saying? Like, Darrell's still going with all the field. I'm still going to running back academy. We just talking before the show. Like, bro, you seem like how we home, bro.
Crazy.
You know? And it's like you just never give up, man. You keep going at it. So that's why That's the imprint that I want to leave on these kids about believing in yourself 100%, man, and persevering, man. You're going to go up and you're going to go down, and it's all going to turn out the right way, man. We just continue to push.
All right, for sure.
So thank y'all for coming to the Legacy Levels Talk Show. I want to thank Coach Tribe, man. Appreciate you.
Not for sure.
Coach, man, appreciate you. Well, you already know, pal. Appreciate you. We hope y'all tune in. We hope that y'all was able to walk away with something. We just wanted to give y'all our perspective on how we thought about, you know, the development of coaching and South Florida development talent pool, or just coaching a gym. So we'll catch y'all at the next episode. Thank y'all for joining. Peace out.